This week on Hyperspace Broadcasts, everyone, welcome to Hyperspace Broadcasts, a show where two real friends dig through Toonami's back catalog and try to determine what's worth revisiting. I'm Michael Doak.
I'm Peter Eby.
And this week, for our second holiday special, we made a poor decision.
A poor decision or a great decision?
Well, at any rate, well, I think we'll determine that over the course of this podcast. We watched two movies that are live action adaptations of Dragon Ball at Dragon Ballathon. And were the movie Dragon Ball The Magic Begins and Dragon Ball Evolution, the famed terrible American version.
Yeah. Well, I love the concept that only the American version of Dragon Ball Evolution is bad.
Yes.
As if there's like some really cool Japanese version that got it right.
Yeah, there's a dubbed version that's way different.
Yeah,
it's way better with subtitles.
I'm sure that's true. Yeah. Okay, so since we're watching two movies, we're going to start with The Magic Begins, talk about that, and then talk about Dragon Ball Evolution. The Magic Begins is a weird movie because it was produced in Taiwan, released in 1991, and it's essentially a live-action remake of the first anime Dragon Ball movie,
which
is Dragon Ball Curse of the Blood Rubies.
And it is not official. It's
clear. It's clearly unlicensed.
It's a bootleg, unlicensed product.
And for some reason, there's an English dub, which is on YouTube.
Oh, yeah. Look this shit up. This is a good one.
One of the things I love about it is that everyone's name is different, which we will get into as we go through the synopsis, but like they're all just ridiculous.
Goku's called Monkey Boy.
Yeah, that's not even the most... The ridiculous one is that Gohan is called Sparkle.
Like that, Grandpa Sparkle.
That's the name of a fucking like pony or like kitty.
Yeah.
Like that's not...
That's
not a cool name for a dude. So basically it tells the first arc of the Dragon Ball manga, but with some adjustments. So we begin with this alien named King Horn arriving on Earth, and he's like a substandard Power Rangers villain, I'd say.
Oh, yeah.
Like, the costume is like a bad Power Rangers villain,
from
so just
far
picture
away,
that shit.
From far away, I was like, oh, the costume, that's Power Rangers quality. That's not bad, I guess.
Yeah,
it's
sure.
A little awkward, I guess. And then it zooms in, and the... like close up, that costume is fucking horrifying.
Yeah, because you can
see
sort
his
of
little eyes.
Like,
you can see
like...
his real mouth within the mouth of the monster,
right?
And it all moves like way slower than his actual face.
Yeah, it's
really
super
creepy.
So we begin with King Horn and his minions blowing up this town with like a lot of pyrotechnics.
Yeah, this movie doesn't skimp on pyrotechnics. Everything's blowing up. All over the place, just explosions, huts blowing up and shit in this village. They don't give a shit.
And these are explosions frequently happening like maybe a foot from extras just running around. Like it looks like the most dangerous goddamn thing ever.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if someone got hurt. It's crazy.
Quite possibly. So the village is all blown up about a million times, and a girl named Jade, who is the daughter of like the village chief, runs off to try to get help. The village chief, of course, has a dragon pearl. Not a dragon ball, a dragon pearl, which is like... it's basically just a glass ball with like a star drawn on it, essentially.
Oh, it doesn't look that bad, though.
Well, it doesn't look that bad, but it doesn't look anything like a Dragon Ball, is what I'm getting.
Yeah.
So, you know, King Horn takes the Dragon Ball. Meanwhile, Monkey Boy is training with his grandpa, Sparkle. And they just kind of wire foo all over the fucking forest, whacking each other, and it's real cartoony.
Yeah. They had some fun with it. They even, like, drew on, like, Grandpa Sparkle gets hit in the head. Yeah, I might sometimes, like, by the way, I might sometimes refer to them as their Dragon Ball name.
Yeah, but, right. That's going to happen.
Sparkle Gohan gets hit in the head and he has like kind of drawn in like star effects around him.
Yeah, like straight out of Looney Tunes. Yeah. And they even have the sound effect for it, yeah, pretty much. Yeah. So Gohan or Sparkle sends off Goku or Monkey Boy to go fishing, and Monkey Boy promises that he'll catch a crocodile. So after an epic fight with a crocodile prop, or rather an alligator prop, he is almost hit by some girl in a Jeep. Who's that girl? Not Bulma, Sito.
Yeah.
And they have a conversation about the difference between men and women, which just
I forgot about this conversation.
Is really strange. I mean, obviously, you know, we've got like, oh, your chest looks different. It's a lot of shit basically straight out of the manga,
yeah,
to be fair.
Because Goku is like a kid who's completely uneducated. So
yeah, and he
doesn't
grew
know
up
what
in the woods, not seeing anyone other than, yeah, his grandfather.
He barely
basically
knows what women are. So he's like, oh, they say they're like, yeah, they're like men, but they have like bigger chests or something.
Yeah, so, but it leads to maybe the craziest line, which is after Monkey Boy is like, oh, can I touch you? And Sito's like, no way. He's like, oh yeah, my grandpa said that too. He said a boy mustn't touch a girl, and those that do are called, and then both of them in unison shout,
rapist!
Excitedly. Which is, I never thought I would see that ever in my life, honestly.
It was insane. Like, we had to stop
the
movie.
Rewound it, yeah.
We stopped the movie and rewound it like 3 times. It was fucking crazy.
Yeah, so, you know, that happens.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, King Horn is going over to Grandpa Gohan / Sparkle's house and blowing the shit out of it, of course. or his henchmen are.
His henchmen.
He has two henchmen. One is a woman who looks like she belongs in a glam rock band,
yeah,
who we refer to as glam rock. And the other is a guy who just looks like a budget version of the Terminator.
He is like Terminator by way of Super Sentai. Like,
yeah, right.
He has huge pauldrons. He's like mostly blue. And he has like a silver face paint, but only on his face. And every other part of his body is just normal.
Yeah.
And huge like kid vid glasses. Just like,
yeah,
I mean,
of course,
Terminator,
yeah,
glasses.
Yeah, right.
And he just wields a shotgun with like an underslung grenade launcher.
Yeah, a shotgun that just shoots explosives. Yeah, because, or
awesome,
shoots explosions, rather.
Yeah, yeah.
So here's the thing about this movie. Pretty much all of it is Goku runs into this character and then that's it, pretty much. Like, it's a movie about Goku gathering together a bunch of friends trying,
yeah,
to hunt down Dragon Ball. So the plot isn't intense in any way, really.
I will say, and like, we meet Oolong, we meet Yamcha.
Yeah.
We meet,
all of whom have ridiculous names. Poor. Oolong is named Piggy. He is first,
yeah,
like a weirdly black-faced pigman.
Yeah, I was going to say, Oolong is fucking horrifying in this movie.
Yeah.
He is a pigman in blackface, straight up.
Yeah,
like,
no, he is literally painted black.
And
it's fucking
not
weird.
Not only is it like fucked up that it's in blackface, it's also just terrifying to look at.
Yeah, right. The makeup is weird.
A monster to behold.
Fucked up. So then he transforms later into just a guy with a weird haircut and like, well, not,
yeah,
a weird haircut, but like, you know, shaved sides.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
like
kind
a
of a
bowl
cut
kind of. And John Lennon sunglasses. And his name is Piggy. We've got fucking Yamcha shows up and he's like budget Clint Eastwood with a gigantic machine gun.
For some reason.
Yeah, but they call him, get this, Westwood. And Poir is replaced by a cockatoo who just states the obvious in a screeching voice that's annoying as hell.
Yeah.
You know, they show up, etc., etc. Eventually, they go to meet up with Master Roshi, or Turtle Master, as he's called here. And the thing that's crazy about this movie to me is that the guy they got to play Roshi gives it his all. He is so fucking selling it. It's,
yeah,
crazy.
Which is pretty much not a good thing when it comes to Roshi.
Kinda, yeah.
They nailed the costume. They have the button-up shirt with the random numbers and letters all over it.
Bullshit on it. And like the shorts, he like walks with this weird squat like,
yeah,
Roshi did in Dragon Ball. He has the turtle shell. The glasses are perfect. The one downside, he doesn't have a fucking beard. Like, every other part of the costume is perfect, but he doesn't have a beard.
He just has handlebars.
Yeah, which is very strange. So Roshi also has a fucking Dragon Ball and is like, oh, I'll give it to you if I can look at Sito's boobs.
Classic
because
fucking Dragon Ball.
Yeah, that, I mean, that was straight up in Dragon Ball. So they get Piggy to transform into Sito because he can change forms to basically bamboozle Roshi slash Turtle Master. With all the Dragon Balls gathered, well, they have four of them at this point because basically everyone has one. Everyone they meet gives them a Dragon Ball, essentially.
Yeah.
And then fucking King Horn's henchmen come and they blow up Roshi's island. He fights them off with some crazy special effects and they steal the rest of the Dragon Balls, except there's one missing, which I'm pretty sure they're wrong. I'm pretty sure, like, I don't know if I missed something, but it seemed like basically Piggy just kind of pulls a Dragon Ball out of his ass eventually.
Yeah, really.
And is like, oh, I have one.
I had one all along, I guess.
It's like, all right, fine, whatever. So they go to storm the village where King Horn has his base. Piggy runs in like Rambo in...
Yeah, Piggy runs in dressed as Rambo with a heavy machine gun. It's like, fuck it, yeah. Yeah,
why not? There's this big battle in the town. Sito shoots a grenade into the Terminator henchman and blows him in half, which is fucking crazy.
In a pretty gory way, too. Like, his top half explodes and his bottom half just falls over.
Yeah, right. Like, the effect looks decent, actually.
Yeah.
You know, eventually... they get into a fight with King Horn, who's too fucking strong for Roshi, even.
And King Horn's supposed to be Piccolo, right?
Like, I don't know. I don't think so, because in the movie, it's like some villain they came up with for the movie.
Okay.
I guess he's supposed to be that villain, but he doesn't look anything like him. Like, who fucking knows?
Yeah, he doesn't resemble Piccolo at all.
Yeah, no,
sure.
that either. So King Horn dies by having one of the dragon pearls shoved into his mouth. He explodes, and then the dragon comes out, and it's just like a puppet that looks pretty bad.
Yeah.
But amazingly has the voice of, like, me.
Like, yeah, such a casual voice. It's like, hey, did you summon me?
Yeah, exactly. It's hilarious how unimpressive the dragon sounds.
Yeah.
So, that's pretty much the movie. It's not super long, and it's totally crazy. What did you think about it?
I loved this movie. Sure. And, you know, big surprise. I like a bad movie. I like a funny, weird movie that's really goes for it. And something about this, because it's like both accurate at the same time and also just really weird. And the dub is, like, you know, pretty bad standard of the time kind of dub, where Goku will randomly just, like, swear and just, even though he's like a little kid.
Like, at one point he says to Piggy, I don't like it when people kiss my ass. It just does not sound like something Goku would say. It's awesome.
Oh my God. The Yamcha, when he first is introduced, looks like an 8-year-old in a Halloween costume.
He looks so fucking young. He looks younger than Goku when he's first introduced.
It's crazy.
And then he has this crazy, like, white costume and a sword. When he's driving to Roshi's Island, he's on a jet ski that looks like it was, like, tricked out by somebody, because it has the handlebars of, like, a chopper motorcycle. It just has these giant handlebars and then outboard motor.
It's beautiful. I need that thing in my life.
And he's just, like, bouncing around on the waves with a cape flapping behind him, and it looks ridiculous.
Yeah.
Like, everything in this movie is crazy.
But there's some things in this, too, where it's, like, I remember some gags from the manga that they had that they kept in, like the Roshi bestows upon Goku the Nimbus, which only allows the pure of heart to ride on,
or as it's called here, the Magic Cloud.
Yeah, sure. And so, like, only the pure of heart can ride it, and of course we get the gag of, like, Roshi tries to jump on and then just falls through because
he jumps onto it, but then when he's like, go somewhere, Cloud, it takes off without him.
Yeah,
and, like, someone else just falls through it, I think, at one point.
Oh, man, and we get a really awful effects shot of Goku riding it, where it's just, like, it almost seems like a JPEG of Goku on the cloud is being
pretty much
dragged across the screen super
fast. It's crazy looking, as you might expect.
But I really enjoyed this. What a unique find. Like, I didn't know there was anything live-action Dragon Ball Z, and turns out there's two other movies. There's this, and there's,
and,
like,
a different unlicensed one.
There's a different unlicensed one from Korea that is not translated at all.
Yeah, that we can sit. Yeah, you couldn't even find, like, a subtitled version, could you? Yeah, right. Otherwise, this would have been a triple wide, and we would have probably clawed our eyes out.
Yeah,
because
it
was already kind of a mess.
Well, shit.
Yeah, no.
What did you think about this one? Yeah.
This is one of those movies where, like, it's like when we were in college, we used to go to this used DVD store that also sold used video games and also magic cards and just look for weird movies there.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like one of those movies. Like, it's just like a random ass, like, kind of shitty martial arts movie that you pull off the shelf and you're like, you know what? I don't expect much.
I thought the Wirefu was kind of fun, though. Yeah. It wasn't very good. The effects weren't very good either.
I wouldn't say this was like a good movie necessarily, but it was entertaining because it was so bonkers. And like that's what I'm saying. It was a movie where I didn't expect much, and it, you know,
I'd say it wasn't like a straight up bad movie. It wasn't a bad adaptation necessarily. Yeah, right. It was crazy bonkers and kind of bad.
What's very weird about it is that most of the characters seem pretty much in line with how they are in the manga. So
yeah, for sure.
I don't know. Honestly, though, this movie is made by the two scenes where Roshi just dances for no reason.
Yeah. And Grandpa Gohan. And there's a lot of like little really dumb moments. This is another, I'll say myself, this is another Hyperspace Broadcast classic. Watch it with a friend who's vaguely familiar with the source material.
Yeah, do not even try to watch this alone.
Don't. Nah, I don't know, you might even enjoy it.
Maybe, but I,
Yeah, you gotta really be willing, though.
Yeah, I think it's a friend movie.
It's a great movie to watch with friends, just who gives a shit about time and wasting time. Like, let's just waste time together.
Let's just throw away our lives.
Yeah, exactly. It's a great throw away your life movie.
Right, well, so that's Dragon Ball The Magic Begins. When we get back, we will talk about Dragon Ball Evolution, the famously bad adaptation. So see you then.
Oh, God.
Oh, dear. Where do you come from, you jerkball?
Hey, I'm not called Jerkball. I'm Monkey Boy.
Dragon Ball-a-thon will return in a moment.
Hey there, listener. Hope I'm not sounding too sick while I give you these acknowledgments. Our opening and closing music is, as always, Vapor Diving, and the music for the bumpers is Monkeys, both by Onatech. You can find more of their music on SoundCloud. Rights were secured through Jamendo. Our next full episode, where we resume our coverage of Dragon Ball Z, will release January 16th, and next week catch a mini-sode where we discuss Robotech 2, The Sentinels. As always, you can submit a topic or show suggestion for our mini-sodes via DM on facebook.com/hbpod, Twitter @hbpod, or email us at hyperspacebroadcastpod@gmail.com.
Use your key.
You know about key?
Just because my name is Chi-Chi doesn't make me a complete idiot.
And now, back to Dragon Ball-a-thon.
All right, we're back. Let's talk about Dragon Ball Evolution. Now, I have been wanting to watch this movie for quite a while because the...
Really? Well,
wanting is maybe not the right word, but... But when we watched G Savior last year, I was like, we have to watch Dragon Ball Evolution next year.
It is only natural.
Like, it's a natural progression. I don't know what the fuck we're going to watch next year, but I guess we'll figure that out.
We'll have to track down that Sailor Moon live action like pilot that is fully released.
If only. So, but the first time we watched this movie, we watched it at our friend Eric's house. And... I only bring this up
because... So many stories about Eric's house.
Yeah, right. I mostly bring this up because the TV they had was like this big, like widescreen TV. And this was back at the time when we didn't just all have widescreen TVs, pretty much.
It's also when a flat screen TV wasn't really flat. Like, yeah, this thing had big heft to it. So the screen was flat, but everything else, not so much.
It's this giant fucking thing on rollers. And it was slowly going green. Like, I don't know what the hell was wrong with it, but basically every movie looked like you were watching it through like a filter of yellow.
Yeah.
So we watched Dragon Ball Evolution.
So watching The Matrix on it made sense. Because it's like mostly green anyway.
Exactly.
It's like for, like a corner of that TV was going green. Like some like something the other colors just wouldn't go through.
Yeah, I remember very distinctly eventually like dragging it somewhere and throwing a brick through it because got completely green.
You're mixing this memory with something else. Okay. We had a well, hell of a night one time. No, let's go for it.
Why not?
We had a hell of a night one time. We were walking down from a JP's, which is long gone. Drinking.
A shitty diner.
Yeah, and a shitty overnight diner.
I think we were too young for that, actually. We're just stupid, and it was late.
Actually, yeah, we were. It was probably before we started drinking.
Yeah.
And it was, like, late night, and we found someone had outside of their house a TV on rollers just like that one.
Yeah,
they had
it out.
Oh, like, I'm throwing this out. It's a free TV. You can take it if you want.
Yeah, so we tried to turn it on.
We rolled it through the Taco Bell drive-thru and tried to order.
Eventually gave up on doing that.
Yeah, we gave up on doing it, but we, like, we got there.
I mean, really, we tried to use an attachment to your mom's car's cigarette lighter to try to turn it on to see if it still worked. Because Tom wanted it?
Well, but what we ended up doing is we found an outdoor outlet at a gas station and plugged it in and turned it on. And we all started freaking out like the chimps in the beginning of 2001 in front of the monolith, like just screaming like, oh my God!
Really idiotic. But anyway back to Dragon Ball Evolution.
Yeah, that might be cut out.
we turned that movie off pretty quickly, much like you may have turned off the podcast. After that story.
Hey, come on now.
And it's a bad movie, but I wanted to see it again just because I wanted to see how bad. And oh boy, this is a movie that came out in 2009. It's directed by James Wong, who at first I confused with James Wan, and thankfully it's not the same person. And it is indeed a licensed adaptation of Dragon Ball.
Yeah.
So we begin with voiceover. And some really weird CG graphics, and they're explaining about this like demon named Piccolo who tried to conquer the Earth thousands of years ago, but failed and was sealed inside a thing using this magical ability called Mafuba.
It seals evil spirits in jars.
Yeah, so far, pretty accurate. Next, Goku is training with Grandpa Gohan. Goku, who else, is just a boring, generically handsome white guy.
Yep.
And the first shot we see of him is fucking like extreme slow-mo sweat dripping off his nose.
Yeah.
Because that's really how we want to introduce the fucking hero of our movie, is a close-up of his nose dripping sweat.
It doesn't help that the TV we watched it on, I don't know if it had the issue of like an HD accelerator or something like that. You sometimes see with HDTV is geared towards sports viewing.
Yeah,
but it
right.
makes movies look, it like really ruins shitty. Lighting in films and makes it look makes it look like a soap opera a lot of the time. I mean, we didn't have this problem with The Magic Begins, but
yeah, that's true.
Watching Dragon Ball Evolution, like
it didn't look good. I think we can say pretty safely. So
you know what? I feel like the movie's great besides that, though.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, it's probably just fine.
So he's training with Grandpa Gohan, and they're, like, fucking fighting on clotheslines or some garbage. Eventually, Gohan blows him off the clotheslines using a ki blast that just kind of blows air at him.
Yeah.
Later, this is referred to as airbending. And, it makes me question if that was a thing. Or if they were just like, hey, fuck it, call it airbending. Avatar the Last Airbender's big.
Yeah.
Like, because that had ended recently.
And it's never
at that point.
Never a thing said in Dragon Ball.
Yeah,
Dragon
right, Ball exactly.
No
never.
One calls it airbending.
So anyway, blah, blah, blah. They talk about some stuff. Goku complains because he wants to know skills he can use. Because he's not allowed to use the skills to fight kids at school because he's too strong. As
by the way,
expect.
Goku goes to school.
Yeah, he's a high schooler.
Yeah.
He's a typical high school student.
Awful choice.
And not only is he a typical high school student, he's bullied by a bully who calls him Geeko, which I'm not sure why they didn't go with like Giku, which is kind of a play on his name.
I bet whatever. You know what? I bet they wrote that down and then they heard it said and were like, no.
Yeah, that doesn't sound
Giku
good.
Giku sounds
enough.
A little better.
Yeah. So this bully named Fuller runs right. over Goku's bike with his awesome car, and then he threatens Goku, and then he's called away by his girlfriend, Chi-Chi. So,
oh,
you know.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, right.
I want to make a note, too, that Fuller, the actor who portrays Fuller, his name is Texas Battle, which is absolutely a Gundam name.
Yeah, it is.
That is a Gundam main character-ass name.
So, you know, Goku's at school, and Chi-Chi's having trouble getting her locker open, and he fucking uses a ki blast to blow all the lockers open because he's so powerful.
Yeah.
Which may be a more ridiculous demonstration of how strong someone is than getting up from a bed and the bed exploding, but I'm not sure.
Yeah. They clearly wanted to cash in on, I don't know, Spider-Man 1's popularity.
I guess.
Let's make high school drama
part of
this movie.
The movie came out a while ago. That's true. Like a while before this, though. Iron Man came out before this, which is important, and we'll talk about why later.
Yeah.
So anyway, Goku is at school, and he talks some bullshit about Namek's, because, of course, in class, talking about the thing that happens later in the movie. And then he explains the plot and sounds like a total weirdo,
yeah.
But gets invited to Chi-Chi's awesome party she's having at her house that looks like a mini golf course. it's just like a big castle in a weird way it looks like a mini golf
course. And there, for some reason, Goku decides, yeah, I will start using my moves against the bullies.
Well, not exactly, because he's like, well, I can't fight them, but I can dodge them. So he just dodges all of their attacks, and they cartoonishly, like, flail over themselves and fall into a fucking pool in slow motion.
In slow-mo.
Yeah. There's a scene that's pretty awesome where Goku slides across the top of Fuller's car on his head for no apparent reason.
Yeah.
So he's at this party with Chi-Chi. They have, like, a kind of weird intimate moment where there's a parrot bizarrely in the foreground. And
for no reason. Yeah. What? Just, that parrot doesn't come back?
No.
What are they doing?
It's a really strange way to balance the foreground and background.
This shot's
it does not
boring.
Look right.
This shot's really boring. Fuck it. Throw
Put
a
in
parrot
a caged
in there.
Parrot, dude. Make it interesting.
I wish, like, Chi-Chi's dad came in and it was just the Ox King
somehow. Yeah, yeah. Chi-Chi's dad just had glasses, a beard, and a cap with horns coming out of it. I would have loved this.
He
would have
been, like,
actually.
A CEO or something
yeah,
instead.
Right, right. So... he's at this party. Meanwhile, Piccolo and his hench person, Mai, are stealing Dragon Balls, and they have this super cool airship that obviously is bad CG and looks terrible. She steals some Dragon Ball, like a Dragon Ball, from this woman and her daughter in a scene reminiscent of the beginning of Inglourious Basterds, but with zero tension and zero interest. And then eventually they go to Gohan's house because he had a Dragon Ball, but he's given it to Goku for his birthday.
Yeah.
And Goku took it along with him to the party for good luck. So they blow the shit out of Gohan's house. Goku realizes something's wrong, goes back home. Oh, God, Gohan's dead. We have the one good joke of the movie where Goku goes up to his room and, like, throws his jacket onto his bed, but the floor has collapsed,
yeah.
So his bed's on a floor below,
yeah,
and the jacket just falls.
Yeah, Dragon Ball Levolution.
Yeah, right, exactly.
God man.
Damn
and
you.
It's important to note that Goku in this movie kind of looks like the lead singer of Green Day. I don't know.
Sure.
Like, there's something wrong.
Yeah, just... but... wow.
That isn't my Goku.
Yeah, right, exactly. Hashtag not my Goku.
Oh, God.
I'm sorry that I even referenced that.
I still love it.
All right, so Goku is at his fucking grandpa's house, and it's totally destroyed. And, oh, shit, here comes a chick named Bulma. She tries to shoot Goku because she thinks that he has stolen one of her quote-unquote Promethean orbs, which is what she calls Dragon Balls, because calling them Dragon Balls is too goofy.
And she says that, and yet she has a dragon radar that she says detects DBE, Dragon Ball Energy. What the fuck?
Yeah, right. As though that's a thing that exists that she can track without knowing that they're Dragon Balls, at least. I don't know. Anyway.
And Goku just goes, cool. His reactions to like any amazing technological feat. Cool.
So they have some dumb banter. Bulma, every line is spoken in this like breathy voice that I think is supposed to sound kind of sexy, but it's literally every line. It's and like everything she says.
They made the choice of like instead of giving her blue hair, which I guess they thought looked ridiculous, and maybe it did.
She has like a streak.
She's
of
like
blue.
A brunette with a streak of blue, and it looks really bad.
It looks weird. It's borderline like skunk hair kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So, you know, they meet. Oh, it's not the Dragon Ball that was stolen from you. It's my Dragon Ball. It has a different number of stars in it. They go to some weird future city thing kiosk that looks like something out of Tim and Eric.
Yes, it does.
It's just Avatar or something to get some information. They find Master Roshi, played by Chow Yun-fat, in possibly the most sad performance of the movie, because he's not very good and clearly doesn't care.
The biggest fall from grace.
So he's the guy who trained Gohan, but is visibly younger.
Yeah,
like
it doesn't make
sense. It's clear that he's much younger than Gohan was, but you know, whatever. He also has a Dragon Ball, and he tells them some poem about the plot of the movie, basically. And we proceed to continue the adventure, but. Oh shit, we've fallen into a big hole. Well, guess it's time for Yamcha to make his appearance.
Yeah. Oh my god.
Yamcha has trapped them by digging a big hole in the middle of the desert that they happen to drive into, and then he wants ransom for them to, you know, to let him out. Goku tries jumping out, but can't. Eventually, they realize that one of the Dragon Balls is near them, and then...
And Roshi just gets fed up and flies out of it. Like, he just comes up there, he's like, actually, I can fly out of here. Fuck you. Help us out.
Yeah. So they find a Dragon Ball, keep on going to the next Dragon Ball in, like, a volcano. Meanwhile, Piccolo has taken some of his own blood in order to clone these monsters, who I guess are Namekians? I don't know. They're just monsters that, when they get killed, they split in parts. Like, there's more of them.
So, I think right now is the time to talk about Piccolo's appearance.
Yeah,
this is
probably
a popular meme that I didn't realize is a popular meme, but when the Captain Marvel film trailer came out, they debuted what the Skrulls look like in the Marvel universe. And I'm not too familiar with the Marvel stuff. I've heard about Skrulls. And here's the thing, they look exactly like Piccolo does in this movie.
Piccolo looks so much like them, and I'm honestly kind of pissed that I watched this movie because now when I see Captain Marvel, I'm not going to be able to take the villain seriously at all. Because the whole time, I'm just going to be imagining that they're like this shitty version of Piccolo.
There are several side-by-sides online, and it is insane.
Yeah, it's uncanny.
It's
look very, very, very similar. I guess thanks, Dragon Ball Evolution, for that shit.
Thanks for fucking up a Marvel movie.
That I was fairly excited to see. But getting back to the plot, you know, what plot there is. I mean, really, I could go on and on about what all of the fucking minutia of what happens. But rest assured, there's a bunch of adventure bullshit. Chi-Chi and Goku start to fall in love. We have this really awkward romance scene where Goku is taught how to use the Kamehameha wave, you know, the highest form of airbending. And there's like four torches in the room, and each torch he can light using the Kamehameha wave.
No. He has to blow them out with his ki. So he like pushes a blast that blows out the torch.
All right, whatever. I'm sure. It's one of the two things. I think you are probably right.
And so she's like, for every torch you can blow out, wait a minute.
I'm
totally getting this wrong, aren't I?
Okay, sure. Oh, he's four steps away. For each torch that he can light, he can take one step towards her. Ooh. And what happens when he gets there? I don't know. Guess we just have to find out.
Oh, boy.
So he proceeds to fuck up one of the torches, making the game unwinnable. and then, of course, he fucking lights all of them at once, and she comes over. They make out a bit. Later, Mai infiltrates, disguising herself as Chi-Chi, using some of Chi-Chi's blood that she stole earlier, I guess. And I guess magic, who cares? Steals all the Dragon Balls, and Goku and friends go to recollect them. Roshi tries to use the Mafuba wave to contain Piccolo. We find out that Uzaru, this thing that's like Piccolo's henchman that's been referred to repeatedly, is actually Goku.
Yeah.
And he turns into the ape form, sort of, but it's like a small
one. Uzaru is the name of the ape form.
Yeah, right.
Like in original Dragon Ball Z. It's interesting that they actually refer to this by its, I guess, real title. But...
Yeah. I mean, I feel like it's a little cooler to be like the demon Uzaru rather than like the demon giant monkey.
True, true. I love that it's like treated as a reveal, like Goku, you are Uzaru.
Yeah, which of course anyone who's seen the show would know. But
and it just doesn't matter.
I will say I appreciate that they at least kept with like, no, actually the hero is the ultimate villain, like World Ender.
Yeah, I guess
like, that's
so.
Nice, but still.
It's handled poorly.
Yeah, sure. The effect is terrible. Goku becomes Uzaru and then remembers some shit Gohan said and just isn't Uzaru anymore.
Yeah, yeah. And he's, you know, yeah, there's no Yajirobe to cut off the tail here.
Yeah, unfortunately, no. We missed out on Yajirobe of all the characters, damn it. Yajirobe and Karin should have been in this fucking movie.
Oh, man. At the very least, Puar should have been like a cat, except.
Puar's not even in this.
Puar doesn't exist.
Yeah, no.
But yeah, Goku and Uzaru, you know, normally is like the size of a skyscraper.
Yeah, like a building.
A Godzilla. It's a kaiju.
Yeah, right.
And this time he just turns into like a slightly bigger human that is kind of like a were-ape. And it looks like shit.
A were-ape is the best way to put it.
Yeah.
So fight in, etc. Piccolo is defeated and Roshi dies because the using the Mafuba wave was too much for his old body, which, you know, again, he doesn't, like, he looks maybe 50.
Yeah.
Like,
and you know what? We need something to wish for.
Yeah, right. So with all the Dragon Balls gathered, might as well wish Roshi back to life. And the dragon comes out. It's CG. Looks maybe worse than the puppet did.
Yeah, it begins. Magic begins.
Like, the design, I mean, you complain that it was not long enough.
It's too
which
short.
It isn't.
It's more like Shen short. It's great. Not fucking Shen long. It's the whole point of Shen Long is he's super long as hell, and he's like as long as the universe or whatever. And
yeah,
he's like,
and his face looks like a very Western dragon kind of face. Yeah. I don't know. They tried to do some weird mixture adaptation. It looks bad.
Yeah.
So Roshi gets wished back to life, and you know that's it, dude.
Yeah.
Well, actually, wait, because both of these movies end in a very similar way. And by similar, I mean the same.
And by the same, you mean a freeze frame of two characters fighting?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
In this case, it's Chi-Chi and Goku, because earlier when Mai was disguised as Chi-Chi, Goku had a, like, who do I shoot moment, but more of a who do I punch, and accidentally punched the real Chi-Chi.
Which is kind of hilarious.
Yeah, they don't really even make a joke about it. It's just like, I'm sorry I punched you.
And the magic begins, like, for some reason, Goku and, I'm sorry, Monkey Boy and Westwood decide to settle things once and for
all. Get the names right, dude.
Yeah. And they have, like, I'm pretty sure the same freeze frame of just kicking at each other midair.
Exactly. So they both end with this freeze frame. Then cut to credits. But wait, this movie came out after Iron Man.
Yeah.
So what does that mean? It means we got a post-credit sequence, baby. Which, in this case, is a woman who I'm almost certain is the woman who Mai stole the Dragon Ball from earlier in the movie. If it's a different woman, she is at least wearing the same clothing.
And it's her spending, I don't know, like 2 minutes making a poultice?
Like making soup or something. Yeah. And then she slowly walks through her house, and the camera kind of follows her. And then we get to this bedroom where there's someone curled up in bed. Yeah, and she goes over, and then who rolls over with a look on his face like, oh, it's time for school already? Piccolo.
Yeah.
Smash
cut.
My God.
And Piccolo, and it lingers on Piccolo's confused face for, like, just too long. Like, for it to make any sense. And it was fucking hilarious.
Yeah, honestly, I'm glad I watched the movie just for that scene.
Yeah.
Like, I was not really enjoying it up until the end. You have in your notes that there's one point where I actually groaned because the CG looks so bad.
Not only that, it was during a final fight, and, like, Piccolo hits Goku, and Doko's, ugh, and, like, as if wincing in pain because Goku was hit so hard. But that's not... No, you were just wincing in pain because the effects were terrible.
Yeah, the effects looks fucking awful.
Yeah.
Huh. So,
God.
This movie, what did you think, Peter? I mean, obviously, it's bad.
Yeah, it was really bad. It was a little better than I had remembered from Eric's House.
Sure.
Like, I was at least having fun watching it and riffing on it. Whereas back then, we were watching it.
Like, up to a point, though, because by the end, I feel like both of us were just exhausted. Yeah, like, it wasn't even funny anymore.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not a good movie. I'd rather watch The Magic Begins twice.
Sure. Yeah, I think it falls into that, like, shitty pit where technically it's, like, has a higher production quality than Magic Begins, but it just, like, it's so lifeless.
Yeah.
Like, I described it as, like, this movie is someone's fucking, like, high school Star Wars alternate universe fan fiction.
It
feels like I've seen almost every scene in it in some other movie somewhere. There's so much Star Wars in it. The high school stuff, I hated at first, but by the end of the movie, I was like, I am pining for that high school stuff because at least it was stupid. Like, all of this shit is just so boring and, you know, it's epic in the most awful way.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's a bad movie. And I gotta say, it does the absolute fucking worst post-credit scene I have ever seen in my entire life.
Really bad.
I do not like... That is awful. That is the equivalent of the end of a slasher movie when they show, like, Michael Myers' eye opening.
Whoa.
But even that's more interesting.
Yeah.
Because this, I swear, it looks like Piccolo's waking up from a nap. Like, it implies that the whole movie was Piccolo dreaming. I don't understand it. And just after watching so many Marvel movies at this point and seeing how they do post-credit scenes in a really good way, it's like, oh, here's a hint at something that, you know, people will know about.
Yeah.
Instead of just like, oh, here's the villain. He's still alive, I guess.
At the very least, they should have hinted at, like, I don't know, the Red Ribbon Army or something.
Right, exactly.
something else from the manga.
Is like, if it had been a different villain that they were hinting towards, that could have been interesting. Yeah. But they're not. It's just like, Piccolo's still okay, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, if they had Raditz... That would have been sick. But, this is one of those movies that falls into the, you know, it's not really, it's just boring. It's just a boring, polished turd.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a Star Wars fan film, but, like, with a bigger budget.
Yeah, more or less. And I don't mean to hate on the actors in this movie. A lot of them have gone on to have good careers or had good careers before being in this movie. So, you know,
Ernie Hudson.
Ernie Hudson, Chow Yun-Fat. Like, I, you know, obviously I don't tend to be like, fuck these actors. They're terrible. I suspect that this came out before the internet was a place where it was necessarily like you could individually harass the actors in this.
Right.
Although I suspect that that would happen if it came out today.
Yeah, absolutely. Unfortunately.
Yeah, it's bad. It's a bad movie. Don't watch it. So, yeah, that's our Dragon Ball-a-thon.
Yep.
And sitting through two weird, semi-okay at best, live-action remakes of Dragon Ball, I'm ready to watch some more Dragon Ball
Z. Oh, really?
Because that's what we're watching next.
Yeah, at least we'll get to, like, Cell Saga and shit.
Yeah, maybe it'll be more fun. Who knows?
Well, before that...
Oh, yeah, we've got an exciting opportunity, which is...
Sure.
...to watch
that.
Robotech The Sentinels, which is the compilation movie of the first three episodes of the proposed Robotech follow-up, Robotech 2, The Sentinels.
Which is interesting because it is a...
It's a completely originally produced.
Yeah, so... Masek went over and got, like, animators in Japan and stuff to produce a new show based off of their original cobbled-together Robotech show.
Yeah, so we've got Dana Sterling sharing the screen with Rick Hunter.
Yeah, right.
Kid Dana, that is. And Bowie Grant, etc., etc. We will talk about that next week. I was excited. We've watched it already. we'll talk about it.
Yeah, we were excited.
But, you know what? Until then... This has been Hyperspace Broadcasts. I've been Michael Doak.
And I've been Peter Eby.
And be sure to revisit us next week for Robotech The Sentinels.
Thanks for listening.
If you want to hear more of our content, follow us over at facebook.com/HBpod and Twitter at HBpod, where we post all of our episodes as well as additional content related to what we've been watching. This is also a great way to get in contact with us naturally. Of course, subscribing on iTunes is also a surefire way to stay up to date, and while you're there, consider leaving us a review. Thanks again for listening, and see you next week.